Welcome to Living by the Word with Pastor John Coleman. I'm Mark Ramsey. The focus of this program is to discuss the issues that affect the life of every human being. While using the Bible as our guide and foundation, we hope that you'll be stimulated by the topics of conversation and willing to apply them to your life. These discussions might make you change your entire way of thinking and living. Now here's your host for Living by the Word, Pastor John Coleman.
Tonight, a very interesting show. As a matter of fact, the subject tonight is called Taking Care of Business, Accessing, that is, a biblical analysis of high standards in God's church. We're going to have a very special in-studio guest, the Reverend Pastor E.V. Hill of Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in South Central Los Angeles. Pastor Hill has agreed to come on the presentation tonight, and we are waiting on him to get here. He should be here during the 11 o'clock hour. He was not able to be here early. So please call your friends and tell them that E.V. Hill will be in the studio speaking about the National Baptist Convention. We are so happy that his church office contacted us during the latter part of the week, and we will have him in the booth discussing those very pertinent issues. Dr. Hill has agreed to come on, and we are privileged to have him sit in this booth with us tonight. But as usual, what we've done is a couple of weeks ago, of course, the phones were ringing off the hook, and we have a contact out in Van Nuys, Brother Hank. You're probably listening right now. When this situation with the National Baptist Convention broke, Brother Hank called me and said, Pastor John, have you heard about what's going on? And I hadn't, because we're very busy dealing with a lot of other issues in our community. And we began to download certain things off of the Internet. And finally, what I did is I contacted a reporter at the St. Petersburg Press, and he sent us this notebook that you see right here. I call it the ream of all of this information from the latter part of August up to, I guess, current history, about some of the situations. We have been following the National Baptist Convention situations very close, and there has been tremendous controversy in our churches, and also at the same time, a tremendous amount of silence on the behalf of many of the pastors in our communities. Senior pastors of vibrant churches that have financed and believed in the National Baptist Convention for years. And that's why we're grateful that you accepted the challenge to come out. We've asked individual pastors to come on and discuss this. We've asked individual pastors to give their, opinion of attending the convention and certain things that happen. And we're personally, as African-American brothers in the community, rather perturbed by some of the accounts that we've heard from the convention. Now, one of the reasons that we're pleased with you coming here, being with us tonight, is because you are the, your title is the president of the investigative
committee. Chairman of the ethics committee that does not exist anymore.
You mean the ethics committee no longer exists?
Not the one appointed for this. The board of directors, of course, is the ethics committee in general. But when there is a specific crisis, they have the authority to appoint a special committee to investigate that particular cause.
And so what do we do now in terms of this investigative committee, since this ethics committee is no longer existent?
Well, of course, I guess if you ask me the questions as we go down, it'll unfold.
All right, that's great.
Okay.
Well, let's deal with the first question. It was taken from the Times article on September the 2nd. You made a statement in statement number one, and I'm quoting. Mm-hmm. It says, Monday afternoon...
May I just say one word?
Yes, sir.
I want to say one word up front. I am almost 100% anti-white press. Mm-hmm. So any statement that I might make will reflect that.
Oh,
I am 200%,
okay,
if not 2,000% anti-St. Petersburg Times Press.
Oh, that's
in my opinion, I think they're some of the most unethical people that have ever been in the press.
Well, can we handle this discussion on a professional level and let us act like the persons that documented these things were telling the truth about your statements?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll point out if they were or not.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's great. So we'd like to quote the Times. It says, Monday afternoon, Hill, the commission's chairman, and pastor of the Los Angeles described the conclusions. He'll acknowledge that some people may want Lyons to step down so that they can step up.
Yes.
The first question that I'd like to ask you is, who are these that desires to step up, and for what purpose is this stepping up situation coming from that you're talking about?
Well, of course, the presidency of the National Baptist Convention is gotten by running for that position. And we had our election 3 years ago, and at least four candidates against Dr. Lyons did not win.
And so you
they were very active in him coming down.
And so you are. So the implication of your statement is that some of these individuals are still very active about him coming down.
Oh, they were all there. They had all of their delegates there. Holland come down. They were there at the convention.
And so you're saying that it may not be the improprieties that Dr. Lyons was accused of, but him being the president, that they were howling the
I'm saying that there were many crocodiles at the pond.
Oh, my
God. Not only them, but there were others.
And so would it also be fair to say that they would say that you guys were crocodiles for Dr. Lyons?
Well, they would say that, but I wasn't for Dr. Lyons 3 years ago.
That's interesting.
So was it a personal issue on their behalf? Or
many.
Are you saying that it was personal?
Most of them were personal, yes.
Hmm. Oh, that's very... Now, are these personal...
Including the St. Petersburg Times.
You mean that they were biased with some
yes.
of these men?
Yes, very definitely.
What would cause these men in that position as Christian men to carry these personal issues on the floor like that for a convention that should have been dealing with Christian matters?
Well, of course, if he had resigned, then he would not have finished out his five-year term nor been possibly reelected for five more terms. Now, some of these men would not be in a position to wait 7 years to come up again.
May I ask a premature question? It's now on the list, and I'm kind of thinking about this right now. If these men are the ones that, you know, are stepping up, you know, to get them to step down and so that they can step up, would you say that these men would be the same caliber men as Dr. Lyons?
Not in my opinion. I'm sure in their opinion they would be, and I'm sure their followers' opinion they would be. In other words, one of the tragedies is the campaign never ceased. Normally, in our fellowship,
yes.
when you have a campaign, as a matter of fact, our covenant says, we may not unanimously agree,
yes.
but we cheerfully regard the right of the majority to govern.
Is there a biblical mandate set up in your covenant to govern the way these things are done?
Yes, yes. All of our points of our covenant are based on the Bible.
Okay. And the delegates know this and they affirm this whenever there is a problem?
Yes, but delegates knowing something and delegates coming with the hope of dethroning a person so that they might be enthroned are two different things.
Oh, my God.
And I had a quick question.
Okay.
I can understand where these other gentlemen who campaigned for the presidency might have ill-gotten means for that, but the St. Petersburg Press, what do they stand to gain by the...
That's very interesting. That's a question that I've asked over and over again. Let me ask you another question. Why is it that the gentleman who is now in prison, he's out on a mere $20,000 bond now, who paid a Negro $1,100 to kill Dr. Lyons, provided he killed him before the convention, what would be, and he was a white man, what would his interest be?
I don't know that story, so
same,
I couldn't really comment on that.
Well, but I mean, if you have that, well, now that's even interesting.
That was in the press, you're saying?
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, I didn't even bring it up because I mean, it was in as late as last week's jet.
Okay, without us going in that area, because we don't have the information on that, and it would be premature to say that covenant is put together by men that may not be, since they are autonomous, they may not agree with the covenant altogether.
Amen. That's a Baptist church. I don't have to agree with what another Baptist church says.
Ah, all right. Now, let's move on.
But I would say that that would be very small in percentage.
Okay.
We are generally together.
And most of us, brethren, have come out of the Baptist church, and so we know how that works. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Further on down in the number one statement on your article, it says, he'll criticize the media for their coverage of Lyons' story, saying that it was very unethical for reporters to publish stories about the commission's work before its members were ready to speak publicly. And then you went on to say that any information printed before the time you, or at least they said that you said that it was ill-gotten, he said. My question is, If these questions that you allude to were unethical, is it not right for the media to ask those questions?
No, I didn't say the questions were unethical.
What were?
I said that the way the media, the Tampa Tribune and that radio station down there, and the St. Pete Times got them, that was the ill-gotten finesta.
Well, why do you think they did that? I mean, here's the second.
I don't have that answer. I'm seeking that answer. They've never done it before. I go all the way back. I'm a charter member of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. I have never seen the white press interested in anything positively we've ever done.
Pastor, you said, and you said at the onset, that there was a certain percentage of your mindset that is against the white press. I have to ask this question. You appear from time to time on an all-white Channel 40 own thing. What does Paul Crouch think of your view of the white press?
Well, my view of the white press is the evangelical white view of the press. The press is against evangelical spirit. The press is against Christianity spirit.
So it
knows no color line.
We know that the press is secular, and
yes.
So we expect that secularism from the sacred, mm-hmm. because they're worldly. You have worldly people.
And I'm against worldlyism.
But we can't be against the press. The press is what communicates to us.
Well, let's don't spend our hour on that, because I'll be exactly where I am now.
Interesting.
I'll be exactly there now, so let's move on. Now, here's what I want to say, but now don't block me from saying that they were ill-gotten. Number one, our board met in Nashville, board members only.
Yes.
They got a copy, an audio copy, out of that board meeting, from a board meeting, and played it day and night on the Tampa Tribune. Number one,
they
got it from one of the board members.
We have it.
Okay. Now, second of all, we had 14 pages of personal testimony that Dr. Lyons presented to us. My commission met three times.
Yes.
I met in Salt Lake City. Only 12 commissioners in a sequestered meeting. All of the press knew that there would be no release, no talk, no nothing. St. Petersburg Times sent three reporters to Salt Lake City anyway,
yes.
and took up chairs right outside of our board meeting. Not only, and we had 14 pages
yes.
of personal documented statements from Dr. Lyons that the commission was trying to deal with and trying to be as fair as we could on both sides, because the commission was not unanimous.
All right.
The commission was split. Now, not only did these 14 pages get into the hands of the press,
yes.
but this was on Saturday.
Yes.
On Tuesday, they printed all 14 pages, including what we said while...
Got to hear.
You see what I mean?
Yes.
They got our comments and the page from one of the 12 commissioners.
I think I have
our comments. More like an internal problem more than a press problem. It sounds like someone from inside your organization broke ranks.
I think we have our contact in Van Nuys. Hank, how you doing, brother? You can ask Dr. Hill any question you want.
Dr. Hill, I'd like to know, you said that you don't trust the white press.
No.
Okay, now do you trust the black press?
No.
Right. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, he's against all press.
And so you're against all press.
Yeah, he said it.
Now, can we find, Brother Hank, just hold that comment, can we find anybody, the scriptural mandate that tells us that we ought to do that? I mean,
I would use a simple one, flee from the very appearance of evil, and just pick up a press, pick it up in the morning, pick up the black press on Thursday, who shot who slept with who, and what have you, and that's all. No progressive program for the community whatsoever.
But aren't they reporting news? I mean,
they're creating news in most instances.
Add something to the conversation. Go ahead.
Well, what I find is amazing. I mean, what I'm hearing coming out of Pastor Hill's mouth is absolutely... as a Christian pastor who's supposedly supposed to represent accountability in the church, I find this absolutely abhorrent. And I find it amazing that this gentleman, he's talking about race instead of grace. He's talking about skin instead of sin. This is amazing.
I don't think I've said any of that. Now, where did you get that from?
Right out of your own mouth.
When? Not tonight. We have tape of this.
The moment that you came on, you just stated... You don't trust the black press. You don't trust the white press. In other words, sir, what you don't trust is anything that flies in the face of accountability.
Well, I won't argue with you, because you evidently have a script before you, and you're prepared, and your mind is made up.
No, sir, I don't have a script.
All right, well, your mind is made up, so I didn't come here to argue with you. I didn't even know you would be on the air.
Hey, listen.
What I have got, though, in front of you is this. I do have copies of the handwriting exemplars of the gentleman named Mr. Roscoe Cooper, Jr. Do you know who that gentleman is?
He's secretary of the convention.
Okay, and I also have the other three signatures of documents signed by somebody, but it certainly was not him. The loans from Nashville were $300,000, and this guy's thinking, you know anything about that?
Of course, yes.
Well, Hank, what's the point of bringing that up?
Well, I'm just asking if he knew anything about this. In other words, are you saying...
Well, if you ask me questions, does the National Baptist Convention have problems that deal with ethics, my point would be yes. If you ask me, do I want the St. Petersburg Times to solve it, they can't.
No.
And so we have a regulatory committee of the board of directors that's working daily on everything you say.
Now, these came out of the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department.
Well, so...
All right, well, Hank, do you have any more information?
Well, that was it. I mean, I'm just amazed that this situation regarding he doesn't believe anything that comes out of whether it's the black press or the white press.
Well, listen, I want to thank you for your call, man.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, brother.